Welcome to episode 19 of the Reading Coves podcast. If you're a book lover who may be interested in joining our online book club, please visit our website at thereadingcove.com. Episode 19 is a special episode discussing Peyton Place by Grace Metalius. So hi, I'm Millennia, the founder of The Cove, and I'm in Florida.
I'm Monica, a member of The Cove from Nebraska.
And we're here for a special episode of The Cove podcast. We're discussing our June buddy read of Peyton Place by Grace Metalius. A few of us wanted to read it to see if how modern readers would react to this book, which, in case you haven't heard, was quite a sensation when it was first published back in 1956, I think it was. It was
56,
it kind of revolutionized pop culture and certainly the publishing industry, and so we wanted to check it out. Quite a few of us had never read it, and so Monica, you want to start off with your impressions? When you first read it, what were you expecting, and how did it measure up?
Well, I wanted to read it when I read a Barbara Dolinsky book that referenced this book. I think it was called Finding Peyton Place. And then I just never got around to it until everybody else was like, oh yeah, I wanted to read this book. And I think I was caught up more into the hype of it. So I was like, I was so excited to read it. And I think if I just would have just, oh yeah, I might read this, I would have enjoyed it better, because I think I expected way too much out of it. And there was no summary. I had no idea who the characters were before I read it or what it was about. So that's kind of a pet peeve of mine. I like to know kind of background information before I start a book. What I would like, and I think, like, if I lived then, I would have enjoyed it more and it would have been, you know, much more shock value. But now everything in here, you know, other than the incestual child molestation, there's really nothing's taboo anymore. So, you know, I'd like kind of a modern day one that, you know, if they put like some homosexual characters in it and put, you know, scenes like people are like, oh wait, I don't want to read this, you know, they can have their own own books.
So you think they should it should be redone?
Yeah, kind of more like it'd be neat to have like a modern version of Peyton Place, which kind of taboos it now, that, you know, maybe issues now that are important, because everything in here is kind of, you know, no longer.
Well, yeah, it's commonplace now, most of what's in there. And, you know, I had said in our discussion in the group that from a 1956 standpoint, I was very shocked. You know, if I put myself in that time frame, that mindset that most people, I guess, had, especially when they picked up a book to read, you weren't expecting to read this. And especially, I guess, it being set in this little New England town. Everything is usually so prim and proper, New Englanders and things like that. And for all these, you know, salacious things to be going on behind the scenes, I think I can understand why it was such a sensation, such a shocking book, and banned all over the place when it first came out. As a modern reader, of course, it's hard to find a book nowadays that don't contain this type of stuff going on. You know, like I said in the group, it's like, this is pretty common now in most fiction that you read. You find abortions and rape and, you know, father sleeping with daughters and, you know, things like that. It's in no way surprising. But, you know, I really enjoyed it. I think I gave it a solid B, and it was surprising. I wasn't expecting it to have the kind of depth and richness that it had. Very well-developed characters, the setting. I really felt like I was in this little town. You know, meeting the different people in the streets were so well-described, and, you know, where the rich folks lived, and, you know, where Selena lived and everything. So I thought it was very well written and was really good. It did feel like it ran a bit long. I thought it was a little too long. Like, it could have been cut like 75 pages and I don't think it would have lost anything. But, you know, other than that, it was really good. I gave it a B.
Yeah, the only part that I didn't like was when the stepdad was going into detail about raping.
Oh yeah, you had said that. Yeah.
And it's like, okay, do we really need, you know, explicit details on how how it was, somebody's especially how raped. It felt to him, you know, it's like, yeah. I don't want to hear that. I can never sit on a jury for, like, a case that's so horrific, because I wouldn't want to, I don't want to hear the details. And, you know, it's just, I don't
and that need part, that. Yeah, I can understand what you're saying. And that part didn't bother me quite as much as the whole clap thing. I mean, really, did we really need that description of this clap draining out of Nelly? I mean, I was so grossed out. It was just way too much for me. It's like, yes, it's disturbing hearing him describe raping his underage daughter. I'm not saying it's not. And I don't even think they're comparable, really. It's like two different types of gross out.
Gross out, yeah. I'm fine with that kind of, I mean, I'm one of those, like, it's like, I don't like reading about incest and rape of children. I just...
Yeah, it's disturbing for a lot of people. And it's in this book in spades. I mean, and she gets pregnant. You know, of course, this is a spoiler-filled discussion. Our podcast is for people who've read the book. But, yeah, Selena gets pregnant. And my favorite character was Doc. I really liked him. I thought he was an upstanding man and probably the best person in the town of Peyton Place. And how he helped Selena, that was just, you know, amazing. Because, you know, had that gotten out, I really don't know what would have happened.
Yeah, I don't know. I think he should have reported it. You know, instead of just threatening him, I think he should have... Well, I think, you know, as a doctor, he's got the responsibility of reporting abuse.
I agree with that, but I also think it goes, I saw it more as being in keeping with the whole veneer of New England. You know what I mean? He handled it in his way without bringing disgrace to the community and to Selena. And if you know what I mean, without letting people know, and for him to report it, it would have to become a public thing. And I think that was a no-no in his view. You know, that's how I saw it. I mean, I agree with you that it should have been reported, but I think that was the reason it wasn't. They needed to maintain a certain appearance, yet it was going on all over the place. And we can move on to Constance and Thomas. Because I remember when they first got involved, he slapped her. And we were like talking about how it's 50 Shades of Grey and Peyton Place or 50 Shades of Peyton Place. And then it goes away. They become this normal couple. And I'm like, well, what was that about? It's like he slapped her and she liked it. And then you never hear anything more about it. It's not like I thought, okay, he's going to be abusive or something like that. But no, their relationship was fine.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of got the 50 Shades of Grey connection a little bit with that. But no, I mean, I figure maybe 50 Shades is kind of like the new Peyton Place, except with just two people. Because it hit something like, okay, we don't read about S&M. But it, you know, I don't know. It's like, if you're going to talk about domestic violence, and you can even talk about somebody staying with somebody, because it's hard to leave. You can't just up and leave, you know. And people that aren't involved in that situation be like, well, I would just leave. You can't. They bring you mentally down, emotionally down. They make you feel like you can't be with anybody else, and well, you don't want to be
Nelly.
Alone.
That was Nelly. Nelly was definitely that person.
Yeah, and
but Constance, on the other hand, Thomas wasn't abusing her, aside from that one incident, which really wasn't an incident for her because she enjoyed it.
Yeah, that's you know, I was like, was it, you know, I mean, there's a difference between slapping somebody across the face and then, you know, weird sexual stuff, you know.
No, but that and I was came like, well, out what? Of nowhere to me, and it was a hard slap because it took her aback. She was caught off guard. But then she kind of got into it, you know, but the way I read it, he whacked her really good, knocked her down on the bed. And I just was like, I don't know where that came from. And I was wondering, maybe she meant to like give us that peek into it and then not say anything more about it. Was that also in keeping with the whole New England veneer? Like it was still going on like that in the background, but...
That,
we just don't see it anymore.
Threw me off too, and I'm like, okay, because usually when people do stuff on that, I mean, as far as I know, it's not like I've done that type of stuff. I don't think they get slapped in the face like that. I think it's more body.
Yeah, right. That's more when someone's, you know, trying to rape you or, you know what I mean, get violent with you.
Yeah.
It's not like the S&M type thing.
No, but, and I didn't, I was like, okay, is he abusive? Is he not? Because he just hit her once and it's, I don't know. I didn't know where she was going
where she
with,
went
that.
With that. It didn't go anywhere else. And then, of course, Nelly and what was Selena's father's name?
Michael? I don't. There's so many male characters.
Yeah, I don't remember his name right now. But Nelly's husband, who was very abusive to her and who was raping Selena, his stepdaughter. Nelly, we have to talk about her. Because I think she is one of the most warped characters I've ever read about.
Was she
the
one
in the history
of
books? Yeah, she's the one that okay. He gave her the clap. As she called it, because she kept referring to it that way, and then she kept saying she had pus in her veins and pus in her head, and you know, like she was really sick. And I was thinking, okay, this must mean that she's had this STD for a long time and she's not been treated, and so she feels like she's got pus in her veins or something. I don't know. I didn't take it to be literal. Did you?
Well, yeah. If you leave it untreated, it can.
It can, because
travel.
She started hallucinating. I think that's at least how it came across to me, that Nelly started hallucinating that he had come back, and you know, after Doc Swain ran him off, and she's, you know, he comes back and he says, "Oh, you have to come with me," and then she takes that to mean she should go hang herself in Allison's closet.
Yeah, that.
I didn't get that. I'm like,
and that was a different person too. That wasn't even her daughter. That was, and see, I think that because you had Allison and you had Selena, you know, and then I would confuse the parent. Okay, now which one was whose parent? And you know, going through. So then when she went, I'm like, wait a minute, that's not Allison's mom, is it? And then I had to backtrack and. You know, that I don't know why it was in Allison's closet, but
because she was clean, she worked for them. She cleaned up the house. You know, she was the housekeeper for Constance, so that's how come she ended up. She was in their house.
And she was at work.
Yeah, she just started hallucinating that I can't remember his name. That her husband had come back.
Thomas?
No, Thomas was Thomas is Constance's. Boyfriend, husband. She eventually got married. But yeah, she thought he came back and was telling her, "You have to come with me." And so she hung herself, and Allison comes home and finds her, you know, dead and whatnot.
It shows how little we think of the abusive husband, because we just cannot remember.
Exactly. I can't remember his name for anything. And then the cellar thing. 6 weeks in the cellar drinking.
Yeah, what really? Was that about?
I was like, what? I'm like, no way. There had to be something else going on down there.
And for that long period of time, I mean, maybe 6 days, but
exactly.
6 weeks?
6 weeks is a long time. And Kim, I remember in the group, Kim was like, what else do you think was going on down there? I'm like, orgies, other drugs. But 6 whole weeks? That's
and
then, over a month.
Yeah, and even if people that are getting, they're not out of it for that.
Exactly.
Long a period of time, aren't the families wondering, and what are they, how are they getting food and working or not? I mean, what, 6 weeks?
Exactly.
That's
his name was Lucas. I just looked it up. Lucas.
Okay.
Lucas was the stepfather. Yeah, 6 weeks, and I think he was there too.
Yeah, Lucas. Yeah, he was there, and then Kenny. I think it was his cellar, and didn't he cut off his foot?
Yeah. That's why I think there had to be something else going on down there.
Yeah, and then I was like, okay, is he thinking he's cutting off his foot, or did he really cut off his foot? I'm like, okay, really cut off his foot. That whole cellar thing, I just did not get.
It was very strange. It was a strange thing. I wonder if she meant to put 6 days, but it said 6 weeks. It made reference to the time a few times.
Yeah. And
so I was like, yeah, that just was weird, really strange.
And I
get it. They couldn't have been just drinking.
I was confused.
Yeah, they couldn't have been just drunk, because drunk for 6 weeks, your
like
liver would have exploded. You're that drunk for 6 weeks, you know, and it's like they planned this, obviously,
it is it supposed to symbolize something, you know? I mean,
exactly.
I'm confused. And I know my lit teacher at UNL said, sometimes the author just wants to confuse you just to make sure you're paying attention. as well.
Yeah, it did feel vague. It felt like she left the whole thing, you know, she tells you it, but it felt really vague. Like maybe there is some kind of symbolism or I don't know. But I just don't get that that's all. It sounds like an acid trip or something else. Others, you know, something else was going on.
And, you know, since I've never done anything like that.
Was it like homosexual orgies and stuff? I don't know.
But, you know, I would think if I was gone for 45 days, my mom would be like, where are you?
Exactly. And these were all the men in Peyton Place, pretty much. Not all of them, but, you know, a lot of them from Peyton Place.
And in a
like
cellar?
13 men down in a cellar for 6 whole weeks and they don't come up for air.
Yeah, living in the Midwest, because, you know, with tornadoes and everything, I know what cellars are like, and it's like, you wouldn't want to be down in a cellar for 6 weeks. It's small and damp, and it's, you know, if you keep food or something down there, preservatives are going down there for a tornado, but you don't
stay down there. Yeah, that was weird.
It's like a bunker.
Very weird. So, any other especially interesting things?
Well, I like the cover, like the back cover. You see a woman, you know, her and not at her typewriter, and kind of wearing a big flannel,
Yeah, it's the author.
She looks so comfortable. It's like,
yeah, with her foot up, she has her leg up.
Like, she just looks like an author from that time. Like, I'm going to write this. It's about people that I know, and they're going to get mad at me, but I'm going to write this and get this story out because people need to know it. What life is really like, life in general. Because I think she was fed up with people not talking about things. Oh, no, you don't talk about stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, and I think she was trying to be bold and be like, you know what, everybody needs to just say how it is.
And I liked that. I liked that about this book and about, you know, how the author told the story. Because it was bold. And it was like, call a spade, tell it like it is, exactly like you just said. And I think, you know, she wanted to, you know, like when she opens it talking about Indian summer, she was basically paving the way to this, the goings on in this town. Because she, you know, she talks about Indian summer comes, you don't know, it's like a woman, what was the metaphor she used? Indian summer's like a woman.
PMSing woman?
Or something like that. And you don't know how long she's going to stay. You don't know how long she's going to be and when she'll go, you know? So she was like, she was pulling the skeletons out of the closet for New England.
Right.
That's how it felt to me. Like, you know, she's priming the reader. And I liked it. I really enjoyed it. I got into it. And I just think that the most memorable things from it that I'll remember, of course, Nellie, who was just, like I said, the most warped character I think I've ever read. Because, and I say that mainly because of how she spoke about Lucas and how he's a good man because he didn't go around giving the clap to anybody but his own wife.
Yeah, he'd be giving it to everybody else too.
No, but her reasoning, I mean, she was like warping my mind. I was like, okay, I can't stay in this woman's head anymore.
Yeah, she was.
She's going to drive me crazy.
I think maybe she took too many blows to the head, too.
I'm just surprised that Selena and her brother got out of that house sane.
Right.
With a mother like that. Because this woman, I was like reading it twice. I'm like, is she seriously saying this?
You know, I wouldn't have been surprised. Well, I'd kind of like to see what happened at the end. I mean, like, I guess there is a sequel, I think.
Yeah, Return to Peyton Place. And there were a few members, like Joyce, said it would have been nice to know, you know, in the end, what happened with Selena and her brother. What happened with, what's the guy, Selena's boyfriend who left? But her boyfriend went off and I thought he went off to try to, you know, settle somewhere so that he could come back to Peyton Place and get Selena and bring her along. But, you know, everybody else thought he abandoned her. For some reason, I didn't get that feeling, but he apparently did because the book ended and he never did come back. But we really didn't get a sense of what happened with her, with Selena and Joey.
Yeah, that's kind of what I want to know. And You know, because, I mean, stuff like that happens. You know, I've known cases where
Ted,
they kill Ted, yeah, where they kill their abusive father or husband or whatever, you know, even kind of like, I remember, if you remember the Aerosmith song, Janie's Got a Gun, but, you know, eventually it's about that, you know, he abused his daughter and she eventually just shot him. Or killed him, I guess. They don't. Yeah, put a bullet. So, you know, it...
No, I mean, I know after she did that with the trial and everything, and even the trial felt kind of, you know, seriously contrived. I was like, really? This is not Podunk, you know, Mississippi, 1956 or 44 or whatever it was. This is, you know, this is New England. This is New Hampshire. And a trial would go down like that.
And it was just seemed a little so small, like, or short. I mean, it was in such a, the very end, so it's not like there was a lot of time on it to get a lot of...
I know, but the way it wrapped up didn't seem very credible to me, that a judge would handle, you know, allow a trial to be handled like that. But, yeah, and so anyway, yeah, we saw that. She did get off and everything, but then what became of her and Joey? So, you know, people were saying they, you know, that would have been nice to know. And I think I'm not too interested in the sequel. I kind of, you know, I read some of the reviews and people were saying it wasn't as good. But I think Joy said she would read it and a few other people. Heather is going to read it. Are you?
I might, just so I can see what happened. But I'm not going to put it on my, I'm going to go out right now and get the book.
Right, right.
But it's one of those I'll put in, you know what, I'm going to read this sometime.
Yeah, I won't. You guys can tell me how it goes. But I did enjoy Peyton Place, and I want to see the Lana Turner movie again. I saw it years and years ago. I don't remember much about it. Did you ever see any of them?
I didn't. I've heard of it, and but I haven't actually seen it.
Yeah, the Lana Turner one, I remember it being pretty good. She played Constance.
Okay, that's the mother of Allison.
Allison's mom, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm kind of, that's what, another thing, okay, with her birth, she ended up meeting her real father.
Allison?
Yeah.
No, her real father died, didn't he?
I don't know, it just seems like
there's a couple
parts.
Or did the mother tell her that he died?
I think
he did really die, though.
But, I don't know, there's parts where, like, well, wait a minute, what, huh? About her paternity issue, and I'm like...
What happened was, Constance had gone to New York, I think it was, and was involved with a married man and got pregnant with Allison. And she didn't, of course, this is one of the scandalous things that 1956 shocked people.
Because there was the Allison that she was named after her father, but I thought it came out that, like, it wasn't her dad or something.
Yeah, she did eventually find out. But I'm saying, I think her real father did actually die, but he was a married man in New York.
Okay. You
know? And that was the scandal, that she didn't let anybody, she came back to Peyton Place disgraced because he didn't leave his wife or whatever. And she, Constance, didn't tell anyone the truth. She told them that Allison's father, she had married him and he had died and she was a widow now. That's her story when she came home.
I know she said something to her daughter, I think, in anger, and then her new husband got mad at her for the way she handled it or something, but I don't...
Yeah, because she told her in anger, right?
Yeah, and so then, like, I guess when people speak in anger, I guess I'm like, okay, is she telling her the truth, or is she just saying that because she's mad? Because people will lie when they're mad at somebody just to hurt them, so I guess that's kind of...
She didn't lie, she got angry and said it, and then that's what I didn't understand, because Tom was such a nurturer for Allison. He was there for her, he was, you know, a perfect father figure for her. And he was, you know, there to support Constance and keep her on the right track when she would get all emotional and whatnot. So, I mean, he was like, he turned out to be a really nice guy. So that's why that whole slap thing, the way they set it up,
that's why that threw me too. He did seem like a really nice husband. I saw it, you know, out of Lucas.
Oh gosh, a nice contrast to Lucas.
You know, and I'm like, well, wait a minute. He's, you know, I don't know. She's trying to say, yeah, even nice husbands hit their wives on occasion. I mean, maybe that's.
But they weren't married then, were they? That was the first time that they got together. I don't think they were married yet. And that just came out of nowhere. And I'm like, oh, because at first, when I him following her around town and pursuing her at her store, I thought that was endearing. You know, like, oh, he really likes her. Okay, he's coming after you. But then when the slap happened, I thought, okay, that throws it in a different light. Like, oh, he's a stalker.
I think even at that, and I keep forgetting what date I'm reading. So I think at that time that was even allowable.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's, I remember because you had the rule of thumb. That's where it came from. You can't beat your wife with anything wider than the width of your thumb.
Oh, wow.
That's where that saying came from. But I don't know when you were or weren't allowed to do that anymore. And because that's the thing, I guess, with the doc reporting. I'm thinking, well, yeah, in today's society, you would have to report. But I'm thinking, oh, yeah, it's the 1950s. Maybe at that time they didn't have that, you know, maybe it was kind of one of those you stayed out of it. As far as abuse goes, and maybe she was trying to send a message about, why are we covering up abuse? Why are we allowing this to happen?
Yeah, I think so. Because, you know, this is common in the story where something is touched on but not gone into. It's kept vague, such as the cellar thing for 6 weeks, such as the slap, you know, between Thomas and Constance. And, there was, you know, a couple other things that it's like she just threw it out there and then backed off. You didn't hear about it again.
So. Yeah, that always bugs me when they, like, touch on something and then they don't go back to it. And then I'd be like, well, wait a minute. I remember something kind of started up. It didn't
really
finish.
It's like you're putting a gun. It's like the old thing about putting the gun in somebody's hand and then nobody ever shoots. So it's like, well, what'd you bring the gun out for? You know?
And I'm wondering, maybe they even forgot they had it in there.
That too, but yeah, that's possible.
Or, because, you know, she could have there's so much character, so many characters, and
there's
you know.
Characters, and she probably, maybe she had it in mind to go in a different direction, and then, you know, it went in another direction, and they developed differently, and then she never really went back and took certain things out. She goes, well, I'll leave that in. You know, I don't know. I don't know. But it'd be interesting to hear what happens in Return to Peyton Place.
Right, and, you know, touching on that, I know I listened to Carlene Bryce, who's the author of Orange Mint and Honey. She told us, every time I even reread my published books, I think, whoa, why did I have that in there?
Yeah,
she always finds something she changes. So I'm thinking, you know, maybe if she would have gone back, she would have caught it and be like, oh, wait, that's right. I didn't go anywhere with this. I need to take this out.
Yeah. So it's the same thing with this Peyton Place. Another author could have written it, and it just wouldn't have been as good. I think the key with this story is the development of the setting, the characters, the town. And, you know, you really felt like I got to know them. So I could, you know, it was like, wow, this is happening, that's happening. I remember there was that little boy with the mother who, Norman was his name? And
was
his
that
mom,
the rich kid?
I don't think he was the rich kid. But his mom didn't want him to make friends with Allison. She didn't want him to get too close to his teacher at school. She wanted him only to look to her, and she would make him feel guilty and just horribly abuse him if he even remotely said something nice about someone.
Like, yeah, there are moms like that.
I mean, I was like, oh my God. So, right, that was in the beginning of the book, and that drew me right into the town. I was like, oh wow. So, you know, she had a way of making the characters really alive.
Right. And I like that rich kid, was it Rodney? The one whose mom died in childbirth because she had like 8 pregnancies and miscarried all of them and got that girl pregnant.
Yeah.
And then, well, I like the part where he goes to the dad and offers him like $50,000 to, you know, get her out of here, you know, and then the daughter comes back and it looked like she'd been beat up by her father. And so then he makes it the lesser amount and said, okay, now you just drop. And it's going to keep getting less. It kind of reminded me of The Godfather. Like, I'll make you an offer you can't refuse.
Yeah. I was like, that is amazing. And she tells him she's pregnant because she's trying to trap him, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, okay, let me go talk to dad. He wasn't even worried about it.
He's like, I know my dad will take care of it.
My dad will take care of this. Because her father, you know, he owns this place. Her father worked for him. And sure enough, he didn't see it as a problem either. The father just went about it like it was just another business transaction.
Mm-hmm.
Just
and
another
I,
business problem to deal with. I was like, wow.
I think they got their karma, though, at the end. So
yeah, they did. because you know, they sued. Didn't Selena sue him or something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then didn't one of them get run over by something?
The father did or the son?
One of them. He was his father or son got run over by a truck or bus or a piece of equipment or something.
It's too many books ago now. I don't remember this.
Yeah, too many too many characters and side storylines. But it was like
this last month. It was June.
But you know how many books I read?
I know. But it does feel like too many books ago. I've read several books since then.
And, okay, well, I was glad they got theirs because, you know, it was like all the crappy people were poor, you know. There were the drunks and the abusing alcoholics and the drug users and all the problems only happened to the poor people. So I felt like, I mean, there was a lot of problems, but it's like, okay, it's not all bad, you know. It's like, okay. And so I'm kind of glad, I mean, they showed the rich in a little bit of a negative light and kind of had their thing, but it was kind of like, it was all the low class have all these problems.
Well, not really, because Constance wasn't low class. She was like middle class.
Was she?
Yeah, she had her store. She had her business.
Yeah, so she was a single mom, though.
But Allison, they lived in a nice house. They were doing well. I think she was described as like middle class or lived in the middle class section of town.
Mm-hmm. That's just hard middle class, whatever. When you're kind of the only income and you're a woman, because then she's a single mom, she's probably, you know, and even looked down on, especially at that time. I thought I would relate to Constance because, you know, I'm a single mom, she was, but I really didn't. I guess the person I liked the most, I think, was Allison. I related more to her because I felt like when I was her age, that's kind of how I was, like, personality-wise.
Right.
So she was the person I related to the most.
And then she went off to New York and got involved with this married guy. And then she comes back. I was just like, wow.
But she's following in her mom's
footsteps.
But I think it's kind of, the reason I like that is, like, people always say, I'll never do that.
Right.
You never know what you're going to do.
But she didn't know he was married when she first got involved with him.
And that's another thing, too. A lot don't. And that's what I think with Allison. I think she's just kind of always just evolved as a person, you know. Because you're not the same person you were when you're 14.
No.
You know, you think
different. Absolutely not.
And even, you know.
You should not be the same person that you were when you were 14. And we have to mention about, because Heather was talking about that too, the burial thing. The fact that Nellie had killed herself and they would not bury her in the cemetery.
And they didn't then. They can now. I think that changed after Vatican II, which happened before I was born.
Right. And Selena had to be shopping around for a burial plot for Nellie.
Yeah, and they...
That was sad. But yeah, there was so much to talk about in this book, and I'm so glad we did read it. It was good reading it with you. And Joyce and Heather, and who else read it with us?
Kim
did. I think Nancy did.
Yeah, and there's so many people that read it. If there's just a couple, it's easy to remember, but there was a lot.
So, and most people pretty much enjoyed it. It's one of Kim's favorites. I think it was her second time reading it. So we really enjoyed it, and we do recommend it, although if you're listening to this, you should have already read it as well.
Read the book, yeah.
So,
but it's one of those I can cross off my book that I eventually want to read someday list, which I have.
All right, so that's our take on Peyton Place by Grace Metalius, and we want to thank you for listening to this special episode 19 of the Cove Podcast, and invite you to come back for our July episode, which is going to be about Michael Bay, The Prisoner of Cell 25 by Richard Paul Evans. See you next time. Bye.
Bye.